Very good morning to you all, brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name. It's once again a privilege for me to share the word of God with you this morning. Without wasting time, please turn with me in your Bibles in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read through the passage. I would like you to keep the passage open as I'll be taking you through. I just want to draw attention to the first 8 verses of this chapter, verses 1 to 8. Let's ask the Lord to be with us as we consider his word. Gracious Heavenly Lord, every time we preach your word, we are confronted, O Lord, with our weakness and our dependence upon you, Lord. Even this morning, O Father, as I share your word with your people, I pray that you may give me the unction of the Holy Spirit and the clarity of speech, that I may not add or subtract anything from your word. Prepare our hearts, O Lord, to receive this message and to apply it into our daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The theme of this message, brothers and sisters, is a good minister of Christ Jesus. It's taken from verse number 6. I'm convinced that you would all agree with me that we all want to be regarded as good ministers or servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not believe there is a person here this morning who doesn't want to be considered as a good and a faithful minister of Christ. It does not matter what you do or where you serve, whether you serve as a Sunday school teacher, a youth pastor, an elder, a deacon, a treasurer, a secretary, a lecturer, a principal, and so on and so on. The truth remains that we all want to be considered as good ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, therefore, I would like to ask you this question. What will it take for you and for me to be regarded as good ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ? What are the characteristics of a good and a faithful servant of God? If you were given an opportunity to describe a good minister, what would you say? How would you describe a good minister of the Lord Jesus Christ? In the passage before us this morning, brothers and sisters, Paul was encouraging and instructing Timothy, who was a young pastor of the Ephesians church, to refute false teachings and to lead a godly life. He says to him in verse number 6, if you point out these things to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up or trained in the words or truths of faith and of the good teaching you have followed. Paul tells Timothy in verses 1 to 8 what he should do in order to be a good minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I would like us to do this morning, I would like to draw your attention four things from this passage that we should also do as Christians, as ministers today, in order to be good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first one, Paul tells Timothy in verse 1 that to be a good minister of Christ, he must point out apostasy. Now, in other words, a good minister of Christ is the one who points out apostasy. Have a look with me at verse number 1. He says, now the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith, devoting themselves to the misleading spirits and teachings of demons. Here, brothers and sisters, Paul tells Timothy that the Spirit reveals that later times will be marked with apostasy. There are different views regarding the meaning or the beginning of later times. Some say that later times began with the first coming of Christ, while others say that later times began with Christ's resurrection. Well, at this point, it doesn't really matter what you believe about the beginning of the later times. What really matters here is that later times are said to be marked with apostasy. Paul says some will depart from the faith and follow deceiving spirits and teachings taught by demons. Well, without denying the wonderful doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, falling away, brothers and sisters, is one of the dangers that have always faced the church of God. Since from the time of the Old Testament, the church has been time and again challenged with this danger of falling away from the truth of God. There are so many ways by which people fall away from the truth of the gospel. Apostasy, brothers and sisters, comes in many different ways. Some fall away by slightly changing the gospel truth. Others become apostate by completely renouncing the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And others fall away by mixing Christianity with their culture. Matthew Henry says that one of the great instances of apostasy is the doctrine which teaches the worship of saints and angels as a meekly sort of deities between the immortal God and mortal men. And he also says that it is one of the first steps towards great apostasy. It was the enshrining of the relics of martyrs, paying divine honor to them, erecting altars, burning incense, consecrating images and temples, and making prayers and praises to the dead. Now then, brothers and sisters, you can think of many things and many ways through which people fall away in our own times. Apostasy was not just only there during the time of Timothy. It's still here today. Now, for us to be good ministers of Christ, we need to make believers aware of these things. We need to warn them against falling away from sound teaching. We need to warn them from following false teachers and false prophets. Recently, some false prophets have been foretelling the exact dates of Christ's second coming. But none of their prophecies have occurred. The Lord Jesus Christ himself warns us in Mark chapter 13, verses 21 to 23. He says, "At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is Christ,' or 'Look, there he is,' do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will appear and perform signs and miracles to deceive the elect, if that were possible. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time." Now it is your responsibility as a person who is being trained to become a minister. It is your responsibility as a Christian to warn your fellow Christians against falling away from the truth of the gospel. Now, secondly, Paul also tells Timothy in verses 2 to 5 that to be a good minister of Christ, he must point out and refute the false teachings that lead to apostasy. Now, therefore, in a second place, a good minister of Christ is the one who points out and refutes false teachings. Have a look at verses 2 to 5. He says, such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Now, we should understand, brothers and sisters, that it is not enough to point out apostasy without mentioning and refuting the false teachings that lead to it. Paul tells Timothy here, we are here told that the false teachings are being spread by the hypocritical liars whose hearts have been branded. The Rogers say that the word seared or branded carries the idea that these people are in the service of Satan and consequently have their conscience stamped with the brand marking his ownership. Or that their conscience have been made insensible to the distinction between right and wrong. And that's exactly what we see happening even in the church today. We have got preachers who are going around propagating false teachings. Now, what exactly were these hypocritical liars teaching? Paul says that they were forbidding people to marry, or they were forbidding marriage. They were also discouraging or requiring abstinence from certain food. Now, where did all this come from? This was the false pietism or asceticism, which was based on the belief that the material world was evil. And this was the central belief of the Gnostic heresy. Now, Paul tells Timothy or instructs Timothy to refute these people by stating that everything God created is good. And the moment you hear those words, you think of Genesis, where the writer of Genesis tells us, God saw that, or God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God created everything perfect until sin entered the world and destroyed the wonderful creation of God. And it continues to destroy it even today. Now, just as the false teachers were spreading false pietism or asceticism in Timothy's time, we also today, brothers, have so many false teachers who are spreading heresies. Heresies such as health and wealth or prosperity gospel. The so-called name it and claim it gospel. Now, to be a good minister of Christ, you need to be prepared to tell the church about these prosperity preachers,
Not just only tell them, but prove that they are wrong as far as the teaching of the Bible is concerned. Because nowhere in the Bible does God teach us that as Christians we will be material wealthy. Of course, to be rich is not a sin, but we don't come to Christ in order to be wealthy. If we trust in Christ for the things of this world, we are to be pitied more than all men. We come to Christ first and foremost for eternal life, for spiritual wealth, for the forgiveness of sins. And that is the gospel we are to take out, or to take it out there and preach. Today we have got preachers such as Benny Hinn, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Joel Austin, you name them, the list goes on. They go around saying, just believe it in your heart, it's going to happen. That is absolute heresy, brothers and sisters. We need to point these things out. Paul was not afraid to call them by name. He says, Demas has deserted me for his love of the world. He warns Timothy about the love of money. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, from verse 6, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. We don't preach the gospel for money. We preach the gospel for the glory of God and for the salvation of souls. Of course, we have needs. We need to live. But we mustn't rob people, give them false promises, so that they give their money with an expectation that the more they give is the more they open their opportunities of becoming rich. And if they don't become rich, they start blaming God instead of blaming the hypocritical liars who are teaching them the false teachings. Now, one thing we need to realize, brothers and sisters, is that pointing out false teachers and false teaching may result in persecution. Think of what happened to prophets like Elijah, Micaiah, and Jeremiah. When Micaiah prophesied to King Ahab, telling him the truth, he was thrown in prison. When Jeremiah was going around preaching the truth, he was also thrown into prison and threatened with death. Why? Because he was opposing apostasy and refuting false doctrine. They faced severe persecutions. And I want you to know that if you are prepared to point and refute false teachings, you won't become a popular minister today. That's why Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, He says in verse 3 and 4, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to meat. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry with faithfulness. Thirdly, Paul tells Timothy in verse 6 that to be a good minister of Christ, he must be trained in the words or the truth of faith and of the good teachings. Now, a good minister of the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is nourished or who is trained in the truth of God's word and in sound teaching. Have a look with me in verse number 6. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister or servant of Christ, being nourished or trained in the words of faith and of the good teaching that we have followed. Now, we cannot, brothers and sisters, notice and point out falling away and heresies unless we ourselves have been brought up in the truth of God. It takes someone who knows what true faith and sound teachings are to recognize hypocritical liars and heresies. That is why, brothers and sisters, it is important for people to undergo training before they enter into ministry. Such training can take place in a church under a matured godly minister or in a theological college such as Mukanyi. You cannot be a good and a faithful minister of Christ unless you have been adequately trained in the words of faith and of good teaching. And with training comes accountability. Accountability plays a crucial role in the ministry. That is why so many people today are leaving mainline churches, because they don't want to be accountable. They want to start their own so-called ministries where they do what they want, no one to tell them and to call them into order. Timothy had followed the words of faith and good doctrine from childhood. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul tells him, and verse 5, he says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Louis and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Timothy had also been trained by an apostle Paul himself. He was a matured believer. Spiritual maturity is an important requirement for pastoral leadership. That is why God tells us in his word that an overseer must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. You have got a wonderful opportunity to come to a place like Mukanyi, where you can be trained to go out there and serve Christ faithfully. But you must be teachable. If you don't have a teachable spirit, you will leave this place not having received any help or anything good that will help you in the ministry. The fourth and final thing that Paul tells Timothy in verses 7 and 8 is that to be a good minister of Christ, he must be godly. He must be holy. You can't be regarded as a good minister of Christ without holiness. Have a look at verses 7 and 8. It says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be for godliness, for physical training is of some value. But godliness is of value in every way. For as it holds promises for the present life and also for the life to come. Now, godliness, brothers and sisters, involves what we should avoid and what we should do. Paul instructs this young pastor not to accept profane and old wives' tales, but to train himself to be godly. Holiness is a spiritual exercise. It's a training. It doesn't just come automatically or by itself. It is your responsibility and my responsibility to train ourselves to be holy people of God. Whether you are a minister or just an ordinary Christian. Holiness doesn't come easy, brothers and sisters. It takes discipline. The word exercise or training suggests that discipline is required. If you are not disciplined as a minister or as a Christian, you can't be holy. The fact that we are saved by grace, it doesn't mean that we should use God's grace as a license to sin. In Titus chapter 2, in verses 11 and 12 and 13, Paul says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who should say no to ungodliness? It's you. And it's me. It cannot just go away by itself. All the evil habits that we used to practice before we became Christians cannot just automatically disappear, brothers and sisters. That's why elsewhere Paul commands the church at Philippi. He says, work out your salvation. Work out your salvation does not mean that they must work in order to be saved. But what it means is that having been saved by grace, they have got a responsibility to live out according or to live according to the grace that they have received. And the Bible tells us that without holiness, no one will see God. How are you holy? As a Christian? As a minister or a minister to be. Being holy doesn't mean to be perfect. But it means to strive for perfection. Holiness is a process, brothers and sisters. And Paul says here, it is a spiritual exercise which holds eternal promises. It is more important than bodily exercise. You know, people wake up every morning, they exercise, jog, or go to gyms and things like that. Why they neglect to begin by praying first? Well, let me conclude. There we have it, brothers and sisters. To be regarded as good and faithful ministers of Christ, we should be prepared to point out apostasy. We should be prepared to point out and refute false teachings. To be good ministers of Christ, we must be teachable. We must be trained in the words of faith and good teaching. Now let me ask you a question as I close. Number one, how is your ministry if you are already a minister? Are you brave enough to point out apostasy? Do you warn your believers, the church of God which has been given up under your care, do you warn them about false teachings and false teachers? Do you train yourself through thoroughly preparing your sermons before you preach? Do you train yourself to be godly? Do you train yourself? Do you listen to good sermons? Do you read good books? May the Lord help us, brothers and sisters, as we seek to serve our Master, to whom we shall all stand one day and give an account about our ministers. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Lord, the Father, Father, and Savior, and our King, Jesus Christ. Father, we want to thank you for such a wonderful privilege of being called into the ministry to serve you, Lord, in many areas according to our gifts and our callings. Father, we want to pray and ask you to help us, God, to be faithful and good ministers of Christ. Help us, O Lord, to take these things into our hearts and to apply them wherever you have placed us. Use us, O Lord, for the glory of your name. Keep us humbled at all times and grounded to the truth of the gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray and thank you. Amen. From verse 6, he says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. We don't preach the gospel for money. We preach the gospel for the glory of God and for the salvation of souls. Of course, we have needs. We need to live. But we mustn't rob people. Give them false promises so that they give their money with an expectation that the more they give is the more they open their opportunities of becoming rich. And if they don't become rich, they start blaming God instead of blaming the hypocritical liars who are teaching them the false teachings. Now, one thing we need to realize, brothers and sisters, is that pointing out false teachers and false teaching may result in persecution. Think of what happened to prophets like Elijah, Micaiah, and Jeremiah. When Micaiah prophesied to King Ahab, telling him the truth, he was thrown in prison. When Jeremiah was going around preaching the truth, he was also thrown into prison and threatened with death. Why? Because he was opposing apostasy and refuting false doctrine. They faced severe persecutions. And I want you to know that if you are prepared to point and refute false teachings, you won't become a popular minister today. That's why Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says in verse 3 and 4, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to meat. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry with faith." Thirdly, Paul tells Timothy in verse 6 that to be a good minister of Christ, he must be trained in the words or the truth of faith and of the good teachings. Now, a good minister of the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is nourished or who is trained in the truth of God's word and in sound teaching. Have a look with me in verse number 6. "If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister or servant of Christ, being nourished or trained in the words of faith and of the good teaching that you have followed." Now, we cannot, brothers and sisters, notice and point out falling away and heresies unless we ourselves have been brought up in the truth of God. It takes someone who knows what true faith and sound teachings are to recognize hypocritical liars and heresies. That is why, brothers and sisters, it is important for people to undergo training before they enter into ministry. Such training can take place in a church under a matured godly minister or in a theological college such as Mukanyu. You cannot be a good and a faithful minister of Christ unless you have been adequately trained in the words of faith and of good teaching. And with training comes accountability. Accountability plays a crucial role in the ministry. That is why so many people today are leaving mainline churches because they don't want to be accountable. They want to start their own so-called ministries where they do what they want, no one to tell them and to call them into order. Timothy had followed the words of faith and good doctrine from childhood. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul tells him, and verse 5, he says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Louis and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Timothy had also been trained by an apostle Paul himself. He was a matured believer. Spiritual maturity is an important requirement for pastoral leadership. That is why God tells us in His Word that an overseer must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. You have got a wonderful opportunity to come to a place like Mukanya, where you can be trained to go out there and serve Christ faithfully. But you must be teachable. If you don't have a teachable spirit, you will leave this place not having received any help or anything good that will help you in the ministry. The fourth and final thing that Paul tells Timothy in verses 7 and 8 is that to be a good minister of Christ, he must be godly. He must be holy. You can't be regarded as a good minister of Christ without holiness. Have a look at verses 7 and 8. It says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself for godliness, for physical training is of some value. But godliness is of value in every way. For as it holds promises for the present life and also for the life now, godliness, brothers and sisters, involves what we should avoid and what we should do. Paul instructs this young pastor not to accept profane and old wives' tales, but to train himself to be godly. Holiness is a spiritual exercise, it's a training. It doesn't just come automatically or by itself. It is your responsibility and my responsibility to train ourselves to be holy people of God. Whether you are a minister or just an ordinary Christian. Holiness doesn't come easy, brothers and sisters. It takes discipline. The word exercise or training suggests that discipline is required. If you are not disciplined as a minister or as a Christian, you can't be holy. The fact that we are saved by grace, it doesn't mean that we should use God's grace as a license to sin. In Titus chapter 2, in verses 11 and 12 and 13, Paul says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who should say no to ungodliness? It's you and it's me. It cannot just go away by itself. All the evil habits that we used to practice before we became Christians cannot just automatically disappear, brothers and sisters. That's why elsewhere Paul commands the church at Philippi. He says, work out your salvation. Work out your salvation does not mean that they must work in order to be saved. But what it means is that having been saved by grace, they have got a responsibility to live out according, or to live according to the grace that they have received. And the Bible tells us that without holiness, no one will see God. Now, are you holy as a Christian? As a minister or a minister to be? Being holy doesn't mean to be perfect, but it means to strive for perfection. Holiness is a process, brothers and sisters. And Paul says here, it is a spiritual exercise which holds eternal promises. It is more important than bodily exercise. You know, people wake up every morning, they exercise, jog, or go to gyms and things like that. Why they neglect to begin by praying first? Well, let me conclude. There we have it, brothers and sisters. To be regarded as good and faithful ministers of Christ, we should be prepared to point out apostasy. We should be prepared to point out and refute false teachings. To be good ministers of Christ, we must be teachable. We must be trained in the words of faith and good teaching. Now let me ask you a question as I close. Number one, how is your ministry if you are already a minister? Are you brave enough to point out apostasy? Do you warn your believers, the church of God which has been given of, under your care, do you warn them about false teachings and false teachers? Do you train yourself through thoroughly preparing your sermons before you preach? Do you train yourself to be godly? Do you train yourself? Do you listen to good sermons? Do you read good books? May the Lord help us, brothers and sisters, as we seek to serve our Master, to whom we shall all stand one day and give an account about our ministers. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Lord, the Father, Father, and Savior, and our King, Jesus Christ. Father, we want to thank you for such a wonderful privilege of being called into the ministry to serve you, Lord, in many areas according to our gifts and our callings. Father, we want to pray and ask you to help us, God,
to be faithful and good ministers of Christ. Help us, O Lord, to take these things into our hearts and to apply them wherever you have placed us. Use us, O Lord, for the glory of your name. Keep us humbled at all times and grounded to the truth of the gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray and thank you. Amen.